Did you have any contact with all the community people? Did you get together at socials? And what was the center of the community that you grew up in?
On the best source we had is when we had those names days. Sometimes 3-4 of them would get together. And then we would have a big party in the hall in Zealand, and we had a lot of people that attended them. Mm-hmm. And we had Red Eye, and of course we gave them lunch, and all was a pretty good orchestra, somebody mm-hmm. that played the accordions and what have you, like mm-hmm. the Chun brothers played accordion and different instruments and different accordion lists and what have you.
What, did they have any games going? Games?
No, not after we got this. In school and what have you.
Did you have some in school?
Oh, yes, we had.
What did you play in school?
Well, Pum Pum Pull Away and Fox and Geese and then we had different games, and then we'd Chum the Rope and then different things. Mm-hmm. Oh, we had entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we had a lake right close to the school, so there was water there. We'd go skating sometimes, but not too long, because noon hours we had to go down and come back. But mm-hmm. we did different things in school. We had games. Mm-hmm. And at home we played checkerboard and dominoes and cards, and we had puzzles that we set together, mm-hmm. made some out of wire, and they were kind of unique.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a neighborhood baseball team?
Oh, yes. We had, out of 5 neighbors, we had enough boys to make a full baseball team. 5 neighbors that we'd get together, we'd have baseball. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of baseball teams out there in the pastures. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you slid into something which you thought was third base, and it wasn't.
I wonder what you would find as third base in a pasture.
How did you get from school to home to school?
We walked most of the time. We were only a little better than a 30 miles to school.
Okay.
We walked most of the time. Mm-hmm. On a stormy day, they would take us with the sled. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we walked. Mm-hmm. Rainy day, we'd take us with the team, with the wagon.
Do you remember being sick when you were younger?
Yes, I remember that real well, when we had the measles and even when we had the flu. I wasn't so bad off, but my sister and one of my brothers were not expected to live.
Hmm.
But they made it through the flu.
How did they, somebody come and...
Dad was kind of, didn't go down, and one of my sisters, and then the neighbor came and helped sometimes, but the rest of us were all sick.
There was a lot of folk medicine being used.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call it, bra?
Well, Olbengreider was one that they bought. But then, you know, well, it would be like who made, well, chicken soup was one of the things that you got. Mm-hmm. And of course, for medicine, well, there was liniment, 2 different kinds of liniment. One you could use for rubbing your sores, and the other one was that you would take internally. Mix it with water and take it. Red liniment and white liniment.
Do you think there's more sickness today than there was then?
Pardon?
Do you think there is more sickness today than there was then?
No. It was bad because there was no doctors, nothing. Mm-hmm. When we had the measles, it wasn't the summertime yet. It was hot. And I remember we had to go into a room and all the shades pulled and what happened. It was mm-hmm. hot. It was 100 degrees outside, and it was bad. Mm-hmm. I was not all that sick, but 2 of my brothers really were sick with the measles.
Hmm.
And there was a lot of times when you had the flu, but in 1918 it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was 6 years old, and it was bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of people died then.
And it went through the whole family then.
It went to the, well, my dad and my sister, one of them didn't have it, but the rest of us all had it.
When somebody died, when let's say, your grandfather had stayed with you, you said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did he stay with you until he passed away?
Yes, he passed away in the big house that I just showed you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yep, in the bedroom, yep. Mm-hmm. And, yes. And, of course, it was, we grieved more than, I mean, it was a sad thing, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of praying going on. We prayed a rosary many times during that time, and it was just different.
Where was your closest doctor?
Eureka. Then later, at the time that Grandpa died, we already had a doctor in Zealand, 7 miles, Dr. Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that was already, he was in Zealand. But for a long, long time, before 1900 and maybe 21, the doctor was out of Eureka, Curtis. And there was very many of the children born around her with midwives.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very many of them.
That was general rule, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
was the midwife paid then?
Oh, yes. They would maybe buy her some material for 7 cents a yard, 3 yards, and she could sew herself an apron. That was big, something like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe some food?
Well, everybody had chickens and cream and butter and food. I mean, the food, everybody had that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, food was not a big treat then, because
mm-hmm.
everybody had it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How about farm accidents and so forth?
Actually, there was not that many that I can remember that were real. Well, my dad was bucked off the horse and was in bed for about a week. And that's about the only accident that I can remember in a farm accident
mm-hmm.
in our area.
Yeah. Broken bones?
Well, not too many of them.
Yeah.
I broke my big bones right below the knee on...
your body's broken bone.
Yeah, I broke my leg right in, and I had to go to Eureka to the doctor. And I was in a cast, but... it didn't heal up quite when spring work started, and I got a hired man, and it didn't work out, so I was out there on a Minneapolis Moline new tractor. I left the crutches in the gas tank and took that tractor and went out there and plowed from 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night. If I had to get off out in the field, I had to roll myself, but I plowed. I was standing on 1 foot all day long. That Minneapolis Moline U had a nice big platform back
mm-hmm.
there, and I didn't have to sit down. I couldn't because I was in a cast from an angle to way up to my hip. 21 days.
Oh. Yeah.
My brother seeded then and drank and what have you, but I plowed. I did the plowing.
Yeah. What did you in your childhood, did you have saddle horses?
Yes, we had saddle horses. And once I was, you know, a little bit bigger, I had a real good saddle horse, a real fast one. We had saddle horses. Mm-hmm.
And those were Sunday afternoon races with the
Well, there were so many boys, sometimes you had to use some of those that you had at the plow before, but that was all right, too. We got there. Sunday afternoon races, you're right.
So when do you remember when you went from horses to mechanized farming?
Oh my gosh, yes. I plowed with horses from the time I was 9 years old until 1900 and well up to Dad bought the first tractor in 1940 that we used to plow, but we had a big tractor to thresh, but that was not on the plow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I used that. I started plowing then, you know, with a tractor and a plow.
What kind of a tractor was it that you had
that
the
was
first one?
1530 International. 3-bottom plow. And that's what we used. And then in 1943, when I got married, I bought an M tractor. Brand new M tractor for $1,385. I got a barrel of oil with it yet.
Yeah.
And that was the first rubber tire tractor?
That was the first rubber tire tractor.
And from there on, how did you progress up?
Well, and then in 1942, before I bought that tractor, I went back to farming, and my brother-in-law and myself bought a combine together, and we started combining. I had the first, and then in 43, I bought my own combine. We separated. But I had the first combine in that area. And I did custom work, $4 an acre. They had to haul the grain and furnish the gas. And I did real well with it. And then in 1944, I bought a U tractor, brand new, $1,680, and a Baldwin combine that combined up from Nebraska for $1,806. I had two combines and two tractors. I did custom work. Could do about 100 acres a day, $4 an acre, they had to furnish the gas and haul the grain. Paid good money. Paid for my equipment.
I guess one thing that impresses me is that you were so willing to work.
I worked day and night almost.
Yeah, there was that family values of working that always seems to come through.
Well, as long as we worked with the horses, we'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and brush those horses down and feed them and get them ready, and by 6 o'clock we went out in the field. Mm-hmm. And we, my brother and myself, we had to harness about 24 horses because we sometimes worked 4 teams. And sometimes 5 teams. We had 20, we harnessed 28 horses.
So 28 horses. And how big of a herd of livestock did you have?
Well, we would have the horses and maybe at the very most 12 milk cows, as long as Dad was still operating. Mm-hmm. And then some stock cows, but not too many stock cows. It was horses. Mm-hmm. The horses got the good grain and the good hay. And my dad bought one stud horse in 1921 for $2,800. Mm. And in 1922, well, the first one my dad and the neighbor bought together, but in 22, Dad bought one for $2,200.
More than a tractor's.
That was it then, see? Yeah. And I remember where we would breed as high as 120 mares a year. Mm-hmm. And if a colt was born and stood up and walked, they had to pay for it. It was $25.
Mm. That was big business.
Oh, that was big. My dad used to sell a lot of horses, and he'd sell some for $350 a piece, $325, and we had as high as 13, 12 colts a year.
Yeah. What kind of horses were they?
They were mostly Belgians, but then the one stud horse was a Persian, and we didn't have him long, and then he died on us, but he was insured, life insurance on him.
When did your dad start selling insurance?
My dad started selling insurance. I'm not too sure, but I would say maybe in 1924.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the company that he worked for?
Yes. Northwest GF Mutual Insurance Company out of Eureka, South Dakota.
Are they still in business?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Did you sell for them then?
I sold insurance for them for 27 years. I was a director for them for 24 years. And I was a trustee for them for 22 years. I had 3 titles at one time.
Like I said, you were a worker.
And many a time, I would start riding at home at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to Dickinson, North Dakota. They'd still be in bed up there because they were an hour later. But I got paid by the mile and by the hour and the open expense account.
Mm-hmm.
and I made hay when the sun was shining. I had many, many, many weeks in the summertime with 70 some hours.
Well, what was your first car?
My first car was a Model A, a 1930 Model A, bought in 1933. And I got it from Aberdeen, South Dakota, and it cost me $285. It was a real good car.
And you, did you furnish your car then for your business when in your insurance?
Yes, I refused to drive company cars because it would have been a hassle, and I made more money driving my car and getting paid by the mile.
Mm-hmm. When electricity came in, was when you built that, your family built that house in 1923, you said, was there electricity in that?
It was wired for electricity and the plumbing was roughed in. No appliances. But in 1924, Dad bought a light plant, a 32 volt light plant, and about in 26 mother got the first electric washing machine. So we had electric lights from 1924 on until REA came in. But when I farmed I still farmed with a 32 light plant.
Mm-hmm.
But we had milkers. We bought milking machines in 47, and we had milkers with the light plant with the 32.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
When did REA come in then?
49.
In 49, okay. How about telephone?
Our telephone came in a little later, but years before we had telephones on fence wires and stuff and from neighbor to neighbor. And then we could call into Central because we had to go to a farmhouse, then we'd get to Greenwind, then we could call any town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of wore out then. It didn't exist, and for a while we were without a telephone. The telephone came later. Telephone came, it was after REA, that time we got telephone.
One of the important things that I forgot to ask about was water. You said you had that creek behind the house there, but did you have wells that you had dug?
We had real good wells. We had dead. Had a well before, then he dug one in 1924, he dug a well, real good well. And then when we got married, we put in running water into the place in 1948. We plumbed it and put in everything.
Mm-hmm. Did you have windmills out there then?
Yes, but the windmill was before my time. That was long before. Windmills were a necessity, and they were in there long before my time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you maintained them through the years?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And then when we got our running water, we put a system into the well, and then later we drilled another well. And so I had two water systems and a pedal pump in the pond for the wife's garden. And she had the best garden in the county.
You had irrigation systems.
Well, yeah, we could use whatever you wanted.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did your mother do any outside work?
She did some, you know, but not after I was born. I didn't think much. What she did that I can remember is she would stack the haystack.
Did she milk cows?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mother could milk cows. Oh, yes. She milked cows.
And I suppose you had chickens?
Chickens and turkeys and geese and ducks. I remember one year we had 124 ducks. 1 year. And about some 30 or 40 geese. And then always only a few turkeys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had pigs. And we would butcher and we would cure our own hams and our side pork, and we had hams and side pork till the new butchering time came again. Enough cured.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Had a big smokehouse and we smoked and cured.
Mm-hmm. And did you have a root cellar?
Yes, we had a beautiful root cellar. We kept a lot of stuff in the root cellar. We maintained it yet effort, and finally when we got our deep freeze and our fridge in, then we finally bulldozed it in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, with a large family like that,
there was a lot of
In
1923, when we built that house, all donated labor. Dad was the carpenter. Oh, he had somebody to help them a few days, but not many days. My sisters and my mother used up 5,200 pounds of flour in 1923.
Making
bread and noodles and cakes and you name it, pies and all kinds of dumplings and strudels and you name it.
Uh-huh.
All that they used all that flour.
And feeding the volunteer help.
Feeling and of course the big family. We were 13 in our family at then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite foods?
Oh boy. Favorite foods was I liked chicken very much and fried chicken, which I don't have no more, I can, but anyhow. And, cookies and pies, and there was a lot of chocolate pie and lemon pie baked at those days. Not too many apple pies, but a lot of chocolate pie and lemon pie and you name it. And mother baked a lot of kuchen and what have you. I mean, it was different. It was mostly raised dough. My sister Mary, when the year we built the house, she did most of the baking. She would bake, she would maybe bake bread three times a week, as high as 18 loaves in one time. Three loaves and one big pan, and then there were six pans of it. And she would bake that. And you know what they used for fuel? Cow chips in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And if it rained, it was sad, but we always had enough cow chips picked and in storage for rainy days.
What kind of stove did she have?
She had just range
stove. Just a range stove.
And that was in the summer kitchen in the summer, but in the winter time we had range, then we had coal stove in the pot belly coal stove.
Now, I'm skipping around a lot, I guess, but did your sisters go to school too? Did every member of your family go to school?
Up to the oldest ones, I don't know whether they went to the seventh grade, but yet then Lena, and I'm sure she went to the seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
or eighth grade maybe even, and then four of my brothers went to high school and to college, and four of the brothers farmed.
Mm. So
see, my brother that was just older than I was, he went to high school and I I had to stay home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my oldest brother went to high school and to college.
You know, I just think of the logistics of raising a large family like that. The laundry that must have been, and food I can understand. You know, you can spend time on that, but clothing. Did you wear hand-me-downs or did you?
There was hand-me-downs, and of course mother sewed a lot of our overalls and shirts and stuff, and underwear was bought, long johns, and you had two pair changed every week.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had your overalls you wore at school. Well, later they were bought, but earlier I remember where mother sewed our overalls.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where she got the fabric.
Fabric was easy. No. We had general merchandise store right only 3 miles from home and one in Zealand, 7 miles.
Okay.
And there was a lot of... When I worked in the store in 1924, if a family got a baby, they'd come and maybe buy 10 or 15 yards of flannel at 7 cents a yard.
Hmm.
And then they would make divers. There was no throwaways, no nothing. Mm-hmm. They had to be divers. And they were made from flannel.
Mm-hmm.
They had striped and dark flannel for every day, and then at Sundays they had some white flannel ones. And the good material in 1924, like that the women made their dresses from, was maybe 27 cents a yard. Gas was 12 cents a gallon. And butter, there was no butter for sale, and no bread. They made their own butter and their, but cheese, I remember real well, came in 5 pound blocks and it sold for 9 cents a pound.
Did they make, you made cheese too, some like cottage cheese?
In the farm? Oh yes, a lot of it, a lot of it. They also made cottage cheese, and then they made one, they let the cottage cheese ferment until it got real, and then they cooked the cheese, which was real good. I mean, it was almost like bone cheese, a little softer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I liked the best was the crust that was in the pan.
Could you beat all the others to it?
Well, it was divided.
Oh. dear. What other kinds of work did your mother do? Did she do...
A lot of knitting.
A lot of knitting?
A lot of knitting and a lot of reading. Mm-hmm. And she made a lot of shawls. See, they would buy that 16-ounce French serge, black serge, and make big black shawls.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would those tassels around the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Buy that thread and make those tassels. She would tie them, and there was little squares and all those tassels hanging down then. And everybody that got married and got, you know, in, not just in our family, other families too. Well, everybody had to have one of those shawls.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing.
Mm-hmm. Does your daughter have one yet?
No. No. But my wife had one, but I don't know what happened to it.
You know what happened?
I think she had her mother's or somebody's, but uh-huh. We had one in the house for a while.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
How did your families dress when you went on sled rides to church or wherever you went to town? They on Sundays when you all went to church, the whole family?
Well, you know, in the winter time, we probably only... 8 of us went to church, you know, and we were dressed real warm, and we had blankets and a sled and what have you, and we had good horse blankets, and we had some ropes made from a horse hide and then some from cow hides, and
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of blankets there and stuff, and we had good cheap skins and overall shoes and caps and mittens, and we were dressed warm.
Did you ever heat any rocks and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, but not too often. Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember well when they heated rock when Dad and Ma went to Neemstein party to Sebastian on January the 20th, yeah. And that was 6 miles. And yeah, they would, and other times maybe, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a lot of rocks on the farm?
Yes, we had rocks. We picked a lot of rocks. Mm-hmm. We had rocks, yeah.
Was your soil, farming soil, pretty good?
Oh, yes. We had good, but we raised a lot of cattle and horses. We needed pastures. We had, mm-hmm. Our land was pretty much 50-50 uncultivated, and also the land that I've got now is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
I rent out pastures, and yeah, we had a lot of, when my dad at one time had 14 quarters of land.
Man, he was a big farmer.
Well, see, he had 6 quarters over in Dewey County in South Dakota by Glen Cross and Trail City. We had 2 farms over there.
Mm-hmm.
2 of my brothers lived over there.
Mm-hmm. Of your family members, who do you respect and sort of use as an example?
Well, an example, you might say, Tony was older, but I think John was the one that was younger. We were kind of raised together and brought up together. I think we were together the most. I think I treasure him the most. He's still living. He lives in Utah now, but we were kind of... Joe was older, but he went to high school right away, so I mean, he was out of the... But we two used to chum around together and what have you. I mean, we were together. Tony was older, and then he was already gone and married.
So when you're mom and dad would go to town and so forth, would they come back with any treats for them?
Oh, always candy.
Always
candy. And then they were so loud, you got so many candy. I mean, each one got, they would maybe bring two tens and a little sacks of candy. That was pretty big sacks, you know.
Yeah.
And then they were so, oh yeah, you got candy. And of course, I stayed with Grandpa, and I even got apples a lot more time. And I got candy too up there. And we'd run to Grandpa's house, and he had candy too. We were pretty fortunate, I must say that, compared to some of the families around there. We had more candy and more better clothes and more things, and my dad was real successful, and we had better things than some of the families around there. More meat and more chicken and more what have you. I mean, we just had more of that stuff.
More than anything.
And we had, you might say, I almost didn't say it, but almost better dress clothes too.
Yeah.
Is there something else now that we didn't ask that you would like to know, share with us?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, if you want a little bit of my life history, where mm-hmm. I started and went through it, I can put it out pretty good. Mm-hmm. When I started going to school, I was 7 years old. And of course, by the time I was in the seventh grade, I had to stay home from school. And I had to do a lot of, I had to be the hired man for the neighbor a lot because they didn't have no boys. So I worked up there a lot. They were just 3/4 of a mile from us, and they were Hartsies. And I was there a lot. And then as I grew older, I mean, I still, and then during threshing time and stuff like that, well, once I was big enough to work the thresh machine, I helped my dad run a thresh machine, and we did custom work for 23 years. Mm-hmm. And I was with it a lot. And then after dad quit, I still ran the thresh machine. I had a combine, I still threshed for the neighbors and threshed. We still binder later, and then we threshed, you know. But then the time came along where the 30s came, and I put in a crop for myself already, but I stayed with Dad in the same place. But I couldn't harvest. I put in 3 crops, never took one off. So we would go west, we'd go out to California, and we'd start tinning beans in Modesto. And then we'd come up to Stockton, and then we would pick cherries. And then we worked for a big outfit. It was Speckman, and I ran the first RD2 Caterpillar tractor that was on track on the experiment farm. Mm-hmm. And almost the first slaughter too, that was a whole building. And then from California, we'd go to Washington, and we would work in the harvest fields there. I was a field boss for 2 years for a big outfit that threshed peas. We would mow with the mowers and bunch them, and then we would haul them 6 header boxes and take them to a thresh machine that had an automatic feeder, and one would feed them in there, and then it had some sack source that sowed the sacks. But 1 year, I pulled a combine by Colfax, Washington, south of Spokane, 72 miles. And I had 21 horses on there to pull a combine on the hilly area, but then later we only had 16 on there. 2 12s and 1 4. But before it was 3 6 and 1 3. And the land was so hilly that sometimes I didn't even see the horse, just the ears maybe in front, a little better. And those combines, that everything was sewed into sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went around the hills and round and round, when we got way up, when they opened that chute, they'd always have 5 sacks in the chute, then they'd open it. Some of them rolled 1/4 of a mile down the hill. that's what the sack haulers picked them up, mm-hmm. down by mm-hmm. along the lower part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, after we finished combining, and threshing beans and stuff, peas, Then we would go to Yakima and pick hops. And then after hops, we picked apples. And we pick apples maybe start in, well, Yakima and Dryden and Chelan. And then we come back to Montana, and I had a beet contract with old Buxbaum for three different seasons. And we top beets. Mm-hmm. And I was the chief, I had the contract. And then I had a cook for 12 people sometimes. Well, we changed off, but I was the chief cook.
Uh-huh.
And I was the contractor, but I top beets. And we contracted them. Then we'd come home around, well, already November by the time we'd come home. Mm-hmm. We hauled the beet top set for the hired out, and we'd come home.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd spend the winter at home and do the same thing next year.
Now, you made money at that.
When I picked apples, I picked 2,600 boxes of apples for one man, which was over three carloads. I got 5 cents a box. I made $8 a day in Better. That's more than the governor made out there at that time. That was real good wages. Mm-hmm. In harvest fields, we only got $3 a day to pitch header box or what have you all day. Mm-hmm. In 1933, we had a real short crop. We went up to Harvey, North Dakota to work in the harvest fields because that's where all my relatives are, you know, mm-hmm. in Harvey, the Weigels and what have you. And I worked in the harvest fields up there for $2 a day. I started, but I was fortunate. My boss's son got sick. He ran the thresh machine and the engine. And so I had to do that, and I got $3 a day, but I pitched header stacks too, but I got $3 a day. And after we finished up there and came back to Linton, North Dakota, Beatrice had a store over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and I bought an overcoat, and which is cashmere now, mm-hmm. was then too.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought brown billed shoes with her floor shine now. And I bought a felt hat and either hangies or socks for less than $14.
My goodness.
So after
things
that,
changed,
yeah, after the 30, after I finished being a bum, I came home, and in 39 I started working for the highway department, and I worked 4 years for the highway department. I lived in Wishing, then I moved to Ashley. I lived and worked out of Ashley. I used to run the snow plows to Linton here, and I was one of the maintainers, and then I was, well, they called me an assistant district engineer for a while because I took care of the snow fence crews and of the guys that had to mow the ditches with horses then, see? So I was the kind of the chief there,
mm-hmm.
made a little money.
Mm-hmm.
The first month I worked the highway department, I made $172. At the same time, 80 men at Ashley worked on WPA that got $82 a month.
Now, what year was this? 1939?
This was in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I started making more money, and I worked, and I worked, well, I worked 6 days a week. I went south of Ashley, which was only a half a day, to the state line, then went east to the Digby County line, which was 18 miles. That was until 3 o'clock I was back home. But when I went to the Amos County line, that was 26 miles, I would leave Ashley at 6 o'clock and come back at 6.
Hmm. When did you retire? Did you ever retire? Have you ever retired?
Well, I did retire in 1980. I only did part-time yet. I did part-time yet, but I retired. I took full Social Security and I did part-time.
And how old were you then? In 1980, you would have been 68.
I was 69, going to 69. And then in 1981, when we built the home in here, and then in 82, we moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I still did part-time, but not too much. And then I quit. And we built the home in 82, moved in January the 29th, and in 84, October the 6th, the wife passed away. Mm-hmm. So we were only in that new home for a little better than 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And you lived there until?
Until 94, and that is sold. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Bismarck for 4 years, but I came back the day after Thanksgiving last year. So. Mm-hmm.
And we were sure glad to see you.
Well, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's go digress a bit here and go back to some of the olden days when you say, I remember when.
Oh, okay. I remember when some of the boys were drafted into World War I. They would come to... We were only 1 mile from the railroad crossing, Milwaukee and Zoo. They called it Metra. That doesn't exist for a long time already. That already the last thing was moved out in 1933, and that was the elevator. And the rest was all, it was gone. And but when those boys came from the Napoleon Wishing Ashley area, they would have to stay with some farmer around there by Metra, because they had to catch the train to go to Minneapolis the next day. So they would, and the Napoleon boys, and my dad was well known in the area, so some of us came up to the welders. And then they'd stay there overnight, and I remember some of those guys staying there. I can remember one's name, Lawrence Grady. He came there Clement Grady. Lawrence was his brother. And he came up there and stayed there overnight, and the next morning he helped to clean the barn, you know, and he was a big boy the way he could throw that manure. And I remember that. I was standing out in the barn, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Dad hauling him to Medrin with the sled. And then I remember more coming down to Schumacher, but I can remember that. And I remember when I was 4 years old, when my uncle Frank Weigel died, and my neighbor Cho Jung came riding into the yard with a gray horse, and Dad was standing by the windmill, and I was standing by Dad. And when Cho told Dad that Uncle Frank died, see, they could call to Greenway, and then he came on horseback, who was our neighbor. And when Joe told my dad that Uncle Frank died, Dad said, "Lieber hat Gott im Himmel." And this is why I remember that. And then he went to the summer kitchen, started whining, and I remember that like yesterday. He went in and told Ma, 1916. Mm. And I can give you the date.
Hmm.
It's in here.
In that wonderful book.
Yeah, in that welder book. Okay. I have you here. Now, what have you? Okay. Catherine the welder got married October the 29th, 1900, and her husband died in 1916.
Mm-hmm.
Frank died July the 16th, 1916.
So that's the day.
That's the day.
Then when you were working in a grocery store, what were the prices of some of the things there?
Okay, the best thing I remember is like, a big box of cornflakes was 27 cents. A small one was 11. A pound of cheese was 9 cents. Gas was 12 cents. And in dry goods, flannel was 7 cents a yard. And then the better cotton was maybe 11 cents. 17 cents was some of the better stuff already.
Yeah.
And I remember getting some dress shoes, and it was General Merchandise Store. some dress shoes. They were nice gray shoes with a long strap that wound around the ladies' shoes, around the ankle, and they were $4. And then one of the ladies came and said, well, she saw some in Mobridge, they were almost the same, but they were higher priced. So my brother-in-law said, well, I can get them too. So he took and set them aside, and a few days later, he came, he sold her the same shoes for $6. $5.95. That was top price. Overcoats, real nice overcoats for $11. $11 for overcoats. And nails for 6 cents a pound.
Nails.
Nails for 6 cents a pound. Staples, 6 cents a pound. And eggs were 12 cents a dozen. And on a Friday, Thursdays and Fridays, I sat in the basement of that store and I would nail egg cases together as high as 30, 60 dozen cases. You nail them together. They had to nail them together. They came in great big packages, wood packaged together. Mm-hmm. And then they had a form and set them in there and I'd nail them together. And I'd have to have as high as 30 and 32 boxes for Saturday and Friday and Saturday business that came in because they bought eggs in the store. Yeah. And they bought cream. Yeah. As high as, well, 28 and 30 and more, maybe more, 10-gallon cans of cream a day.
And what were they paying for cream in those days?
Cream, that I don't know. But I know they got between $3 and $4 a can. I don't know exactly what the price was per pound.
How about a ton of coal?
A ton of coal that we bought, that my dad bought, that was Montana Roundup, $6 a ton. And the lignite were cheaper. In 1940, I borrowed a truck. I rented the truck from Greenway, South Dakota, from the elevator, and I went over to Fire Steel and hauled coal over there for my brothers-in-law in the store and for some of the people that I knew there. And I got $6 a ton laid in the basement. I think I paid $3 out there, something like that, $3.50. Yeah.
And you were telling me one time about candy bars.
Candy bars? At the time when I worked at the store, Mr. Goodbar, Hershey, O'Henry, Baby Ruth, in that line, and I think it was a Milky Way. They weighed 4 ounces and they were 5 cents a bar, which would be now 20 cents a pound at that time. Yeah. And now you get 1/3 ounce.